Acts chapter 18. Continue down our journey through the spiritual warfare. And tonight I want to talk about something. We kind of hit the surface of it last week, but I want to jump into territorial spirits. And you say, what in the world is that? Well, let's pray and we'll get right into the message tonight. And again, here's what we can understand. No matter what you hear and what you may be scared of, remember, we wrestle not against what, church? Flesh and blood. We have a God who is above all and over all, and who, when we bind someone or something in the name of Jesus, guess what? It is bound. Amen? And we need to understand that there's nothing here that we need to worry about. Our Bible teaches us that our spirit is not a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, in a day and age like today, it's real easy to be fearful about what's going to happen tomorrow. But listen, you don't even know if you're promised tomorrow. Amen? You need to just trust the Lord and everything will work out for the good. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, thank you for the young ladies who sang. Thank you for the Lord, Miss Crystal, taking time to practice with them this afternoon. Lord, as she's done many, many times before. Lord, thank you for our church families. Lord, I'm so grateful that you sent me here, sent my family here. I'm so grateful how they've treated my wife and my kids and me as their pastor. Lord, I don't deserve any of it. Lord, I just want to be used by you. And Lord, may you give us many, many more years together with the families here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church, Lord. And tonight, Lord, as we go into this study on territorial spirits, we know that the devil does not want your people to be warned about this stuff, and would love for just this to just go on untouched and not talked about, Lord. But I pray, God, tonight that we'll understand that everywhere we go, there are spirits, and there's an enemy out there fighting everywhere we go. And we as Christians need to get busy, and how we fight the enemy matters. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, just bind the devil. And Lord, just cleanse me of sin tonight, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit tonight, Lord. Allow your word to have free course. As Brother Walter talked about this morning in Sunday school, we don't ever want to quench the spirit here. Lord, we want you to have your will and your way. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Acts chapter 18, verse number 9 through 10. When you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not, what church? But speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. For decades we have heard missionaries, when they return from the deep, dark jungles, tell blood-chilling stories about how people, or about people that practice spiritism, voodoo, and other types of worship. I mean, if you've ever heard a missionary that's been in a deep, dark country, I'm sure that you've heard some bad stories that some of you might think, well, I don't want to hear that. My kids shouldn't hear it. Listen, the devil wants you to believe that you shouldn't let your children hear this stuff. Listen, here's what you better understand. Greater is he that is within me than he that is what? In the world. You better teach your children that in the name of Jesus you have power over the satanic spirits, because whether you like it or not, Satan is real. Demons are real. The spirit of hell is real, and it's everywhere. And you better just understand, you'll not protect them from them. I promise you. You better let them learn how to fight the enemy properly, because our enemy is not flesh and blood. Oh, well, if I just stay away from that person, everything will be fine. No, no. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We've got to understand that this is a very real battle. Many of these tales would start with the missionary walking through an area, and there would be an evil presence that dominated their literal atmosphere. I told you, just last week, I went to pick up my wife and Colton from the airport. And I've only driven through New Orleans that I know of twice now. And both times, and you know, the Harolds are here. He grew up in New Orleans. He can testify. That is a very dark, gloomy place. I didn't get out and step foot on the ground except to walk from the parking garage into the airport. But I'm telling you right now, when you got there, you could just tell that Christians aren't welcome there. Who do you think's controlling the spirit of that atmosphere? That's the devil. He's the prince in power of the what? The earth. He was given that by God. But listen, Did you know that we have the power over that? And did you know that not only New Orleans, but in Red Level, in Andalusia, everywhere you go, the devil has individuals or demons, powers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places is working everywhere you go. Now, the same spirit that's in New Orleans, it ain't right here in Red Level. But I guarantee you, some of you could probably tell me stories about how Red Level used to be 100 years ago that you heard from your grandparents. You might know more about this town than I do. I know a town where we come from in Seward, Alaska. I'll just give you a little story here. On 2nd Avenue there, the ships used to come into 2nd Avenue. And I was riding downtown with my boss who grew up there, his daddy grew up there, grandpa. And he told me all the stories about why all the houses were built the same. They all have these little glassed-in porches. And what used to happen is these boats would come in and they would usher the prostitutes up 2nd Avenue and the married men would sit on their front porches and bid on these women as they would walk by. Hey, that place is still a very sensual place. A lot of things go on there. I'm talking about marriages. I mean, swapping wives and swapping husbands. And I've heard even my father-in-law tell me stories about people that he even knew that used to be into that wickedness. Then they got saved and came out of it. But in reality, that's been going on for generations in that town. Folks, listen. Spiritual warfare is real. And I don't know the stories behind Red Level, but I can tell you this. We live in a country where there's some dark, gloomy spirits. Amen? Everywhere we go. I've had independent fundamental Baptist missionaries tell me of things that have happened on the mission field that they would never relate to their supporting churches for fear of being made fun of or even losing support. And can I say this, church? We shouldn't run from that stuff because a missionary comes and tells us a story. Listen, I've been in pastors' houses before where the atmosphere was so dark. My wife can testify to a couple of times we've stayed in places, and she felt it a little bit more than I did, but I mean the demonic spirit is real. And you can just sense, ain't no way I'm going to sleep here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It just don't feel like your house. In that house, something's going on. Territorial spirits, we're talking about that tonight. Is this territorial demonic domination only active in the jungle of Papua New Guinea? Can it be here in the United States of America? The Apostle Paul tells us the conflict that we are to engage in is not one of flesh and blood, but warfare against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are participating in a real, live, invisible spiritual war in which the combatants include angels, demons, and Satan, the Holy Spirit, and the church. And let me just clarify once again, just as real as God is tonight, the devil is just as real. Amen? And he is at work. And what's his job? You say, why are you constantly talking about this warfare? What's the real, why does Satan work so hard? Because listen, men and women, God did not create individuals to die and go to hell. Everybody okay with that? He created everyone to be saved. Now, does that mean everyone's going to be saved? Absolutely not. But see, what Satan is doing is he's warring for their soul. He's warring after their mind, their emotion, and their will so that he could captivate them and make them believe that, you know, nobody loves them, that they should accept everything, living in their sin, live for yourself. Ultimately, Satan's goal is to see that individual live out their life, die, and go to hell. Because here's the problem with this. Satan is going to hell. He's going to the eternal lake of fire. He's going to spend eternity there. And he understands what it's like to be in the presence of God. Y'all all right with this? He used to be in heaven. He understands. He's seen God. He knows what it's like to be there. He knows what, I mean, the greatest musician that ever lived has sat in heaven, led probably the greatest choir ever. He knows what the presence of God is like. He knows what he's missing out on. Y'all with me? See, we never think about it like this. Satan has seen what we have not. Y'all hear me? He's seen it. He knows God's real. And he also knows this, that his eternal destination is a lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And listen, he knows what it's going to be like without God for all eternity, more than we do. And as many people as he can get to convince, as many spiritual blinders that he can put on people and they die and they go to hell, that's one more soul that'll spend eternity with him. One more soul So what are we worried about that for? Because we are warring for the same thing. We're warring for their souls. Well, this is why visitation is important. This is why giving out gospel tracts is important. This is why teaching junior church is important. This is why teaching Sunday school is important. This is why singing songs is important. This is why preaching God's word is so important, because we are in a war that's never going to end until Jesus Christ returns. It's never going to end. We are in a war. It's us versus the devil. We are with Jesus. Territorial warfare is the biggest area of spiritual warfare that has been unknown or ignored. We see it as something too mystical or too crazy to talk about or recognize. I'll be honest, the first time I heard the two words spiritual warfare, I was like, who in the world is this guy and what is he talking about? I heard Brother Shooter speak about 15 years ago at a marriage conference, of all things, and he talked about spiritual warfare. I'm like, what is he talking about? But I'll tell you what, the moment that I caught a hold to the truth and the day that I watched demonic activity that had taken place in my life and my wife's life, that really and truly, here's how Satan works. How many know he's a deceiver? He doesn't want you to know what's really going on. He doesn't want you to know that what you're partaking of and the spirits that you have, that anger, that bitterness, that wrath, he doesn't want you to know that that's really bad. He'll convince you that that's okay. You're you. You do what you want to do. But the moment I realized that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and if the truth therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. When I experienced true freedom is when I learned what forgiveness was. When I watched my wife take a trip down memory's lane and realize where she picked up this demonic activity in her life. And I watched the preacher, he asked my permission, since she was my wife. He said, do you mind if I take authority right now and bind this demonic activity and bind this demon? And I watched. Listen, this thing had a name. Had a name. Scared her to death. To the point of sometimes she couldn't even sleep at night. She'd be forcefully held down at night like someone was holding her to the bed. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. And when I watched, he said, what's his name? She said, I don't know. Well, where'd you get it? I don't know. Well, when I watched Brother Souter bind that thing in the name of Jesus and command it to reveal itself and where it came from, immediately her memory remembered. Immediately. You say, that's crazy. No, no. That's God. Y'all hear me? That's God. Immediately she knew. How old were you? No, I mean when it happened. Fifth grade. She was 22 years old when she got rid of this thing. 22 years old. Didn't think anything about it. Was just something innocent that she thought playing with her little friends would be okay. But can I say again, Satan's a deceiver? Be careful. This isn't crazy. It's something that you need to hear. But believe it or not, the spiritual warfare battlefronts can be found at every point of the globe. The stakes are still over the same thing that we as fundamentalists have fought for, the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. After all, that's what we're here for, right? To win souls for Jesus Christ. Everybody okay with that? That is what we're here for. Recently, this is the preacher talking, a pastor who was visiting with them here at his church at Harvest Baptist came up to him and said, I'm from the Bible Belt or the South. And when I came into your city and your area, I could tell that there was a darkness over Fort Dodge. The preacher looked at him and said, you should have been here in 1993 when we first arrived. Our nation's cities have dominating spirits that rule over them. How can we know what these dominating spirits are? You can tell by the characteristics of the city. Here's just a few of them. Popular cities that spirits that control them. New York. How many know New York, right? Well, what kind of spirits there? How about greed? I'd say that the city of New York has a spirit of greed. What about D.C.? Spirit of ego and power, all God's people said. Hey, Los Angeles, spirit of pornography, lust. New Orleans, very sexual, sensual spirit, fornication. Some can testify to that. San Francisco, a sodomite spirit. Y'all all right? Miami, spirit of drugs. Some of y'all say, well, that's River Falls. But what can fix that? What about Chicago? Gang activity? St. Louis? Spirit of alcohol. Anheuser-Busch Company. Y'all all right? Dallas? Spirit of pride. You may not like the terms, the spirit of this and the spirit of that, but I know that it's real and it is powerful. The goal of these spirits is to use their influence to darken the city. And can I say, they've done a very good job. You know, the devil's no dummy. Everybody know that? He's a God-created being. He's not dumb. He's very smart. And he knows what's going to take people out. And some of, you know what? What gets them might not get us. You say, preacher, well, you didn't touch my sin there. Hey, God knows you. The devil knows you. He knows what sin so easily besets you. The goal of these spirits is to influence and darken their cities, to blind men to the gospel and to harden their hearts of the people. You say, preacher, we don't deal with that here. No, but go into just the rich part of Andalusia and start talking about Jesus. Look, I know some hard people over there. Just in coaching baseball, I've met some hard-willed folks. And then walk into San Francisco and start preaching on sodomites and see how long you last there. Y'all all right? You won't last long. Why? Because that spirit is controlling there. It runs the place. Walk into Miami and preach against drugs. What are they going to do? Run you out of the town. Amen? Go to New Orleans and try to preach on fornication. Ain't going to last long. Folks, listen, everywhere we go, there's spirits that are ruling and reigning. This is going on right now in the present. On the tourist-laden streets of South Orange Blossom Trail in Orlando, Florida, hundreds of men try to go unnoticed as they enter bars on Friday nights, going to look at the filth and the vileness of this world. A local church member took up the call of spiritual warfare. This is a true story. One gentleman of the church pulled his car into a parking space across the street from an adult bookstore. He shut off the headlights, turned off the engine, and quoted 2 Corinthians 10:4, which says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." In another car, two ladies of the church prayed the same type of warfare prayer. For 30 minutes each Friday, the three spent time praying and rebuking the enemy. They would pray like this: "Father, bind the spirits of lust and perversion and assign angels to take charge in this place. We ask the Holy Spirit to speak to the men who enter this building in the authority of the name of Jesus." And can I say, that's a lot of authority. Listen to this. A half mile down the road, at a combined meeting of churches, over 500 people met in prayer for the city. They entered spiritual warfare, denouncing the demonic spirits that blinded the eyes of non-Christians in the city and pulled down the strongholds that ruled over the region. Specifically, they denounced the spirits that controlled the adult entertainment business that sold pornography. Listen to this now. This is what God can do. Within a month, the city's Metropolitan Bureau of Investigation had enough evidence to start legal proceedings that could close the adult bookstores. Within 2 months, owners of all 7 adult bookstores in the greater Orlando area voluntarily shut their doors. Hey, why? Because God's people bound the devil and asked for the spiritual blindness to be removed and the pulling down of strongholds. You know what pornography is? It's a stronghold. Y'all all right? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever been addicted to it, because that ain't none of my business. But look, if you've ever been addicted to anything, you know what alcoholism is? It's a stronghold. You know what tobacco is? It's a stronghold. You know what cussing is? It's a stronghold. Wicked behavior, stronghold. Adultery, stronghold. Fornication, stronghold. Hey, did you know that Jesus Christ has the power to release those strongholds? Even on the lost people, some men and women got fervently, and the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? You know, we got to stop thinking like this. I've prayed for this for a while, and nothing's happening. You remember what we talked about last week? We'll read it here again in a second, but God is paying attention to your prayers. Sometimes He just wants to see how faithful you are. Don't give up. I've had too many tell me that territorial demonic power is something new. Well, you know what the Bible says? There's nothing new under the what? son. I believe that if we could get all the missionaries together to share their encounters through the past hundreds of years, we would find out that these powers have been active all along. See, Satan's been working since the day he got booted out. Walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? May devour. Not seeking whom he might, but whom he may. He has to be granted permission. The breaking of these territorial powers could be the key to spreading of the gospel in many cities, villages, and towns. Could you imagine hearing tomorrow on the news, breaking news, revival breaks out in San Francisco, California? Could you imagine what would happen if America prayed a hedge of thorns around that city, and that those that are in spiritual bondage and spiritually blinded to the sin of homosexuality would come to the realization that they're just lost sinners bound for a devil's hell? Could you imagine if revival broke out in that community and men stopped loving other men and ladies stopped lusting after other ladies and they realized, hey, what I needed all along was Jesus? How's that ever going to happen? By us talking about them and mocking them. Y'all hear me? Can't do that. You know, I know a lot of good church people whose kids are in that sin. I'm talking about good men, good women of God. And their kids have gone astray. And men and women who used to make fun of that. And by the way, I ain't saying it's right. I think it's sick. I think it's gross. I think it's vile. I think it's anti-God, just like the rest of yours and my sin. Okay? But those same men and those same women who used to mock it and make fun of it, now they pray for them, individuals, because it's personal. You see, every single man that we see out there fall into that sin, as gross as it is, what if it was your son walking, holding another man's hand? Would you still love him? Would you want the world to look at him like you look at them? Would you still love him? Would you still love your little girl if she was one of those girls that chopped her hair off and started dressing like a boy and fell in love with another girl? What if it was your daughter? How would we feel? I bet you we'd have a little bit more compassion. And I bet you our warfare prayer would be a whole lot stronger if it affected us. You know, you're but a moment away from it being you. You don't know what's going to happen to any of these kids. It's our job to train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. We don't know what's going to happen in between. We have no idea. You know, my wife told me the other day, she said, I think it'd be a good idea if you get the names of all the football players and assign a name to each church member for them to pray for every single day. I wonder how many would be willing to say, I'd do that. You give me a name, preacher, I'll lift that name up to heaven every single day. Hey, you know what our public schools need, our private schools need, our Christian schools need, our homeschool kids need? They need your prayers. Because let me tell you something. There's something out there that none of them are going to hide from. It's the devil. It don't matter how long you can keep them, as long as you want, mom and dad, but I'm telling you, I've seen homeschoolers break their mom and dad's hearts. I've seen Christian school kids break their mom and dad's heart. I've seen private school kids break mom and dad's heart, and I've seen public school kids do it. Hey, you're not exempt. The spirit of this earth, the spirit of the devil, is everywhere, and he's looking and seeking after your children. I might take that challenge up and get those names and say, hey, would you be willing to pray for this young man every day for this whole next school year? Hey, would you be willing to pray for this young lady? You might not even know him, but bind the devil off of her. Put a hedge of thorns around her so that she may see Jesus Christ. Let it hurt every time she tries to do wrong. Let it hurt every time he tries to do wrong. And pray that their soul will be saved. I wonder how many of us could commit to doing that. Folks, that's what we need. You know how they shut down 7 adult stores? They didn't. They were just faithful. They just prayed and God did it. Amen? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And at the end of the day, it's all about him. We read in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan has seemingly successfully blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot receive the gospel. I realize that this refers to individuals, but it could also apply to territories, nations, states, cities, cultural groups, tribes, governmental groups, social groups, etc. I wonder how many of us have heard of a man by the referred name Father Nash. Anybody ever heard that name? No? He was a prayer warrior for Charles Finney. Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney? Great evangelist. A prayer warrior for Charles Finney. Well, here's what he would do. He would go into the areas that were hardened by the enemy and pray for 2 weeks or more. Go in there ahead of where Brother Finney was going to be in the next couple of weeks. He would pray in serious intercession so that when Finney would arrive, revival would come. And if you read about the great revivals of Charles Finney, hey, you'll see that it really wasn't about Charles Finney. It was about some prayer warriors that got a hold of heaven and asked Jesus Christ to have his will and his way and to bind the devil off of the area. Hey, you know what's important? Before you come to church on Sunday morning, you should be praying on Saturday and Friday and Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday and Monday. Hey, go to church ready to receive something. Don't go expecting to receive nothing if you haven't put in your work. Pray up before you come. I guarantee you church will be more fun. Y'all hear what I'm saying? For years, I got into the habit of just going, just because that's just what we do. We go to church. And, you know, and I don't see how anybody, I mean, I understand if they weren't raised in church, but I don't think I could make it without church. I mean, how many love coming to church? I mean, I look forward to it. About by the time Wednesday rolls around, I'm like, is it time for church yet? Because I'm really just tired of that out there. You know what I'm saying? I love getting around believers and good people that are going to edify me and strengthen me and lift me up and hear the stories about what God's done for them. But I love church. I love it. And I couldn't imagine not coming to church. Just sitting at home. COVID about drove me insane. I was one of those dummies sitting down there. Our town went crazy. And it was terrible. There were about 7 or 8 of us that were allowed to go. And I'll tell you, I was thankful because some Sunday nights I got to preach. And you want to talk about something weird, try preaching to some pews. You think church members are hard to preach to? Pews are hard to preach to. It is weird. They're like, all the live streams on, everybody's watching. I'm like, I can't hear anything. I can't see any of them. What's even weirder than that is, listen, it got to the point where they're like, oh, we're going to go back to having our song service. I'm like, wait a minute. I know the song leader. And I don't want to lead music to a bunch of chairs. So everybody took their songbooks home. I'm like, this is going to be the weirdest thing in the whole world. They still printed out bulletins. We told everybody what page we were going to turn to. And you're just sitting there like, all right, hymn number 473, Victory in Jesus. And the piano started playing. And I'm like, well, I guess it's me and you, Miss Stacy. Here we go. Listen, I missed the fellowship during that time. Did any of you witness that? It was terrible. I miss seeing my church family. I miss not being, in Alaska, they shut the roads. Like, you couldn't even travel from town to town legally. It was horrible. I remember, I think it all started in early March, around the time Carolina was born, but I got a picture on my phone of they finally opened the road. We were allowed to go to Kenai, and the first place I went was Taco Bell. And, man, I hadn't had a Baja Blast in 2 months. I got a picture on my phone like the first time I ever seen a Taco Bell. Hey. Look, you know, we take things for granted, don't we? You know, God has been really good to us. We should stop with the attitude that we got to go to church and we get to go to church. You know, you don't realize what you have until you lose it. You know, we should probably be a little more thankful for what God's given us. I love my church family. I love being able to preach. I love it. If I couldn't preach, I don't know if I'd want to live. Because that's what God called me to do. And I love it. Joshua and the people of God were faced with the city walls of Jericho. You know that story, as we all know. The city walls came down. They came down not because the people of God marched around them 7 times. They came down because God's people did what God told them to do. Amen? See, God already had a plan. All they had to do was be what? Obedient. Each city has spiritual walls that must be penetrated if we're going to accomplish what God has called us to do in these cities, in our towns, in our schools, in our workforces. These spiritual walls are different for each territory. In Daniel 10 and 121, we read that last week, we find mention of two territorial spirits. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks, 21 days. After the 3 weeks of intensive intercession and fasting, an angel declared that the very moment that Daniel began to pray, the answer was on the way. You remember that? But for 21 days, this angel, the messenger angel, relayed to Daniel that he was delayed because of spiritual warfare with the prince in the kingdom, a prince of the kingdom of Persia. According to verse 13, he then informed Daniel that he could expect more battles with the prince of Greece. These are the princes over the manipulation of Persia and Greece, which makes them principalities. The word of God says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what, church? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Notice that this was not just any prince. It was the prince of Persia, the spiritual being that was warring against Gabriel and later Michael. The warrior angel was over a particular territory, that being the Persia territory. Throughout the Old Testament, we find groves and altars that are set up to gods of the heathen nations. These places were used to practice gross and perverted acts of worship. In our day, we have the same temples. You know where they are? They are bars and our adult pornography stores. You know, it saddens me. Even on interstates now, they advertise this stuff. You know, didn't there ever used to be a day where that would be illegal to put X-rated stuff on the side of I-65? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it ain't just adults that ride on the interstate. Y'all all right? Young men and young ladies are staring up at those signs and seeing this stuff. Young men and young ladies, you can't even go on vacation hardly anymore anywhere without seeing flashing signs. You know why they flash them? To catch your what? Your eye. They know exactly what they're doing. And you know what? You might be the most innocent preacher boy that ever lived. You've never looked at pornography. You've never thought about it. But listen, the devil wants your eye. And you go to a place where the lights are flashing, and all of a sudden you look up, and there it is. Boom. The image is in your mind. Now you have a decision to make. What am I going to do with that thought? Y'all know what I'm talking about? This is how the devil works. You say, well, I've never really thought about it as a territorial spirit. What do you think they're trying to do? You know what's behind all that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Billions of dollars in that pornography industry. And by the way, those are somebody's daughters. Y'all hear what I'm saying? How many of you have a daughter in here? Raise your hand. How many would be pretty upset if your daughter was on that sign or in that building? You know what I'm saying? Or in that magazine or on that computer screen that you keep clicking on. Y'all hear me? Hey, what if it was your little girl? Folks, we're in a real battle. How do we deal with territorial spirits? Well, first we got to find out the history of the cities that we're around. You know, we here around us, I mean, there's plenty of communities. And like I told you, just a little town of Seward, Alaska, I told you some of the demonic activities. Again, how many know of a town around here that has a pretty deep, dark background? I mean, is there any towns around here like that? I mean, I know that the Ku Klux Klan used to be rampant in this area. Is that true? Somewhere down in the South? Had to be. Y'all know that's demonic. You know the slavery? Y'all know what I'm talking about? How they used to treat slaves. And, you know, you read about it in your history books. How many know that that's not godly? Don't matter how white or black we are, that's ungodly. Y'all okay? Racism is ungodly. Hatred is still ungodly. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Hey, you ought to love the little children of the world. You know, I know of churches right now, just 2 weeks ago, a preacher friend of mine went to pastor a church about a year ago up in central Alabama, and he had a vision. And he wanted to bring in bus kids. And some of the bus kids he wanted to bring in were little black children. The church told him, "Preacher, we're not on the same page. He had a decision to make. Leave or leave the bus kids alone. You can stay, but we're not having them in here. Hey, everybody okay? That's not okay. If you struggle with someone because of the color of their skin, what is wrong with you? Jesus wasn't white. I just surprised some of y'all, didn't I? Y'all all right? Hey, he wasn't. Are you going to be racist against him? Absolutely not. The truth is, God created mankind. There's one race. It's called the human race. Y'all all right? Guys, listen. There's so much hatred and that going on down here. And everywhere you go, really. But you know who's behind that? The devil. How about the religious history behind the towns that you live around? Or the tragic history? Has there ever been a series of crimes that dominate a city? Sin history. Has there ever been a time when the city recognized wicked gods? You know, we have a town in America we call Sin City. Right here in America. What do you think they represent? Sin. Hey, amen. Kason, you got to stop playing with the paper, bud. Put it away. Thank you. Sin City. Who's behind sin? The devil is. That's in America, where we boast about our sin. How do we see the walls come down? Now, this is the good part. See, with every sad story, there's always a good ending with Jesus. Well, here's what we can do. We can start praying over the cities, praying over the schools, praying over, I'm using the word city because that's what we're talking about, but you can put whatever you want there, your school, your workforce, your home. Pray over the city on a consistent basis. Jeremiah 29:7 says, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Pray over the north side, then the south, then the east, and then the west. Enlist men and women to be mighty in prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Establish a time and place to meet the Lord in prayer with others. You know, I remember a day when prayer was in the public school. You guys probably prayed in public school, didn't you? I mean, even when I was a kid, we used to pray every morning. Now, you mention prayer in public schools, unless they're in a conservative area where God's still good and, you know, the Bible still matters. Hey, people don't want prayer in school. But who really don't want prayer in school? The devil don't. And see, the problem is the devil has blinded the eyes of so many people. And we say, well, we don't agree with that, but when's the last time we drove and surrounded the outer area of the schools and just asked God to do a mighty work? I wonder what would happen at Red Level School if New Hope Independent Baptist Church went and surrounded that thing and just prayed for a couple hours for all the teachers there to have their blinders lifted and all the students there to have their blinders lifted and bound the devil off that place. What do you think would happen? You know what I think would happen? Over time, we'd see revival. You know where revival starts? With me. With you. Quit looking to your neighbor to start revival. You start it. Let it begin in you. Establish a special time and place to meet the Lord in prayer with others. Notice what it says in Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Combine fasting and prayer when you begin to notice that there are areas in the city that seem to be impossible to penetrate with the gospel. Some spiritual strongholds are conquered only, as Matthew 17:21 says, by prayer and fasting. Ask God to push back these powers of darkness and to rebuke the principality over the city as well as the specific power of evil that is controlling the city. Satan operates within humanly defined jurisdictional areas. A principality is a prince over a territory. Begin to pray for the government officials. You say, preacher, that's tough. Listen, I know. I know. But hear me out. God knows who's in the White House. Y'all okay? God's no surprise. You know, God knew who Nebuchadnezzar was. Y'all listening? And he used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they went into the fire. Three of them went in. And Nebuchadnezzar's looking. And he says, did we not cast three into the fire? I see four, and the four looks like the Son of God. Hey, when's the last time someone saw Jesus with you? Nebuchadnezzar was a lost king. But he certainly knew who Jesus was. Y'all hear what I'm saying here? Folks, be careful now. Pray for the officials. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Hey, you know, the only reason that you are who you are today, and I believe this with all my heart, you know, yeah, you got saved, but I think somebody prayed for you. I know people prayed for me, and I know people that still pray for me every single day. You want to do something about your local government, your state government, your national government? Pray faithfully. Start from the president and work all the way down to your principal in your high school, the teachers in your schools. Call them out by name. Thank God for the ones who are doing right, and pray to God. Because here's the sad reality of the whole, yeah, and I understand you might not like Joe Biden, I don't care if you like Trump, but I don't care. Here's my thing. Judging by Mr. Biden's testimony, if he were to die tonight, he'd be right down there with that rich man in hell. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And how many would say, I really want that to happen to that man? What if it was your grandpa? You know he has grandchildren? Are y'all hear me? He has children. He has grandchildren. He loves duck hunting. Hey, I did my research on him. I'm not a fan of him. But he has a normal life. You put yourself in his shoes, you'd probably be a mess too. Hey, has grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews. He goes to Thanksgiving with his family. He has Christmas around a Christmas tree just like you and we do. He's just an individual that needs Jesus, that's 81 years old and lost as can be. I wonder how many of us in this room, don't raise your hands, but would say, I've prayed for my president this week. Now I wonder how many will say, I'll commit to praying for my president. Because after all, he is your president. God put him there. He appoints him. Amen? He's not surprised. He's going to appoint the next one too. Don't be surprised. You better start praying for him. Begin to build a relationship with the city officials of your area. You want to know how to make a difference in your community? Get involved in your community. That's why I love coaching. Every time you get to coach a baseball team, you automatically get 12 families. Boom, just handed into your lap for 8 or 9 weeks at a time. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. I've seen a lot of young boys come to church over the last 15 years from just coaching them. And then you get to know their dads and their moms and their brothers and their sisters. And pretty soon it's like next year you get a whole new fresh slate. Hey, get involved in your community. You can do something. Get involved somewhere. Visit the officials to let them know that you are praying for them. One of the saddest trips I've ever made, most fun trips, but probably one of the saddest things I've ever seen, was going into the Senate building and to the House of Representatives in D.C., and I sat down with Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski, there, our senators from Alaska, and then Don Young, he's passed away now, but we went into his office, and, you know, they might act like on the outside that they're happy and they're trying to sport it up, because, listen, that's what they're paid to do. But in reality, these people are miserable to the core. they have people that are in this ear about doing this, and people in this ear about doing that. And hey, look, you know what we try to do? When we go visit them, we just say, listen, sister, listen, brother, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Open up God's Word and just go by the book. Because in reality, they don't have to answer to us. They might lose the next election. But I'll tell you what, great will be their reward in heaven if they stick to this book. Amen? That book's important. My wife's going to come tonight to the piano. I wonder tonight if maybe you have dealt with some territorial spirits. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. The live stream's going to get turned off. You're going to sing.